Friday. Today is April the 4th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, insects, the topic of the day, as we look out in the backyard and garden, we are going to talk about honeybees and some disturbing news coming out of the state of Washington dealing with bee populations. We're also going to talk about different invasive species coming in through bamboo furniture and things to be aware of. We'll have all the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
We're going to start off this Friday morning taking a look out in the backyard and garden, and want to start talking about honeybees in a news release that came this actually out of Washington State University, but it seems the trend is nationwide. As losses of commercial honeybee colonies are projected to be the highest on record in the last decade. Now, in their press release, university scientists said that colonies could decline by up to 70% this year, while average losses have typically been around 50% annually. And while there have been steady declines in bee population, there is really no definitive cause as to why exactly the colony losses are higher this year. Scientists said they believe it could be that combination of nutrient issues, mite infestations, diseases, as well as possibly things to do with pesticide exposure. They say if we see increased colony losses, we could also then see a drop in honey production and an increase in the rent that those with specialty crops that pay beekeepers to bring their hives in, that they would have to pay. They may just see some beekeepers also cease operations completely because it's too expensive to continue that as a business. Now, back in 2023, honeybees had a production value across the country of nearly $350 million, that according to the USDA. So something we're going to want to pay attention to, because honeybees are a big factor when it comes to all crop production, especially as we think about our backyard gardens, whether it's the flowers or the vegetables we plant, but also from an agricultural and horticultural perspective as well. We also want to talk about some infestations of insects that can come in unusual ways. A interesting story down in Butler County at their extension office, they actually received some infested furniture from a county resident who had purchased it from a store that sells surplus products largely from other countries. And as they dug a little bit deeper and went through the proper process to capture and contain without contaminating any other areas, the beetles were eventually identified as bamboo powder beetles, which is native to Asia. The genus belongs to another family commonly known as horned powder post beetles. And we've talked in the past about powder post beetles and the damage they can do to wood structures. Well, the 26 species that are in that family, in that genus rather, are distributed mostly in Southeast Asia. They're divided into two subcategories. The ones that they found are the only ones that were intercepted in the United States, that is, in that particular class. We're talking a subgenus. Numerous species of those are pests of raw materials. Now, according to the research, three different species actually have been intercepted here in the United States numerous times, especially with furniture made from bamboo. And due to their presence now in a warehouse situation, eradication would be difficult. So they are officially saying they should be recorded as being considered an established pest in North America. Infestations of these can begin when adult beetles enter bamboo columns and then lay eggs. And then during the harvest and manufacturing process, that bamboo is an ideal food source for the pest due to the rich starch content. Well, the borer is drawn into the freshly cut bamboo where they enter those for the laying of eggs and then seal that entry point with more of a wood powder that they can mine out of that bamboo. The larvae then remain in there undetected inside that harvested wood product. Infested bamboo wood then can be reduced to dust in a very short amount of time due to their relatively short generations as these critters multiply, and it can cause significant economic losses and render the material basically impractical for any functional use. It is unclear whether or not the immature stages can survive on dry bamboo. However, it has been observed that the highest egg laying by females on bamboo occurred sort of in that 15% moisture level, and eggs successfully hatched and pupated. The adult lifespan was similar in bamboo with 15 and 30% moisture, but no larvae developed in those at the higher moisture content. Due to the worldwide movement of bamboo products and the difficulty of enforcing quarantines, this pest has numerous interceptions at entry ports and even beyond port areas, places like Connecticut and Florida nurseries. So the United States Department of Agriculture has considered a non-quarantine for the continental Seattle, U.S. One way you can help reduce the spread, though, of this species and similar wood borers is to really carefully inspect bamboo and other wood products when you purchase them from retail stores, or especially if you're getting them online and they've been shipped in from other countries. And if you suspect the product could be infested, contact the USDA or the Department of Agriculture in your state to report the finding, and be sure to destroy that product before disposing of it in the trash. Obviously, you do it in a manner that would be in direction with what the USDA tells you and how to proceed. Fumigation is ideal, but that can be expensive and often can be also toxic to humans and animals. So again, if you need to fumigate, that's when you would contact pest control professionals to do that job. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to go from one invasive species to a much larger invasive pest that we don't typically see here in Northwest Ohio, but one that is common in southern parts of the state and other areas. We're talking about feral swine and research that continues to improve methods to trap feral swine populations and control this invasive pest with the use of smart traps. USDA's Rod Bain has more.
About 3 years ago, data was being crunched on studies conducted by U.S. Forest Service researchers in the Savannah River region of South Carolina and Georgia. Studies on smart traps for feral swine populations and their effectiveness.
The project was a comparison of more traditional trapping strategies with what was at the time fairly new smart trapping, or we refer to it as whole sounder removal.
Forest Service researcher John Kilgo was among those conducting those tests.
The smart traps allow the trapper to control when the trap closes because it's got a cellular camera with a video feed or just sending pictures to let the trapper know which pigs are in the trap. So if the trapper has identified composition of the sounder ahead of time through scouting and knows that this sounder, for example, has 8 pigs, let's say, and what they look like, when the trapper gets the picture of those 8 pigs in the trap, then he can or she can manually send a command to close the trap door.
In theory, providing greater efficiency in whole feral swine sounder removal. The desire for more effective trapping continues as these wild hog populations expand across the nation, causing damage to agricultural crops, fields, and equipment, structures, even injury or fatality to other wildlife species or humans. So the bottom line of the smart trap research:
whole sounder trapping with the smart traps was more effective at reducing density than the traditional trap style. It was not quite as effective as we had hoped it would be. On average, those 5 areas that we trapped with smart traps, we reduced density about 53% compared to where it was before we started trapping. The traditional traps only reduced density about 30%.
Kilgo notes that additional studies over the past 3 years conducted by other entities demonstrated greater efficiency with smart traps and greater reduction of feral swine populations versus total eradication. Kilgo says while there have not been significant technical advances in smart traps since 2022, he reveals
a trap style that is rapidly gaining popularity is lower tech than the smart traps. It doesn't depend on smart trapping. It uses a net that pigs are able to root under to get inside the trap, but the design of that net prevents them from getting back out.
There is also greater reliance of thermal devices and scopes. Kilgo discusses one example with USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service.
APHIS and other organizations are doing more and more aerial gunning from helicopters, finding that that's more effective than it was previously thought to be, even in forested conditions.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great weekend.